Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. The Business Bunker.
Radio, Channel Radio and bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 19th of September. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and he's back. He's back from his holidays. My co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Thanks, Paul.
You're right, mate.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah. Hi, everybody.
You're a bit tanned and everything.
Yes, yeah. It was nice weather down there, but it's changed now. So we picked our 10 days perfectly.
Did you?
Yeah. It's
all, did you have some inside info or something?
Well, it was just purely luck, I think, purely luck.
But, was it?
Yeah, the old Mistral has kicked up a bit down there now, and it's decidedly chilly.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Cool.
But it was very nice, yeah, yeah. Very nice, thank you.
Good. So I'll tell you what, Martin, why don't we kick off? Well, you wanted to have a bit of a rant about something, didn't you?
Well, not really.
Why don't you go with that?
Not really a rant, more of a kind of an observation.
Oh, okay.
So having
it's a rant by anybody else's.
Having done about sort of 600 miles on the motorway network and road network in the south of France in the last 10 days, it struck me that I didn't see any roadworks anywhere. Not one set of roadworks. I didn't hit one pothole, which is just as well, because the whole collision damage waiver thing with insurance on hire cars now is a minefield. And I wouldn't have been covered if I damaged a tyre. But what they do have is toll roads. So if you go on the motorway, you pay a toll. And, okay, at the time you think, crikey, you know, that cost me £4 to do that little stretch of motorway. Mm. But actually, there's no congestion on the motorways. Mm. There's no roadworks on the motorways. People drive sensibly on the road network. And when you get into the rural road network, the roads are immaculate. Mm-hmm. And you compare that to the roads we've got over here and you think, well, where's it all gone wrong?
Yep.
So the solution clearly is we need motorway tolls across the country so that we can reinvest that money into the infrastructure that we so desperately
need. What you mean, like they did with Dartford Crossing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly.
Ah. There is the M6 toll in the north of England.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Mm. And that works as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, nobody uses it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it's always clear.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because it's next to a free motorway.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a joy to drive on, isn't it, the M6 toll? Mm. So I don't know about you, but I think, you know, we're going backwards in this country in many respects. And certainly with regard to infrastructure investment and kind of planning for the future and you know, investing the money where we should be, it's just not happening. So we need a wake-up call.
Right.
And, you know, why not learn from other countries that seem to be doing it quite successfully?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, but we couldn't possibly do that, though, could we?
Well, we wouldn't want to copy the French.
Well, no, who would?
But we can pretend it was invented in Singapore, because they obviously have quite a successful toll system.
There is definitely
there
plenty
well.
Of other countries out there that are a lot worse than us as well.
Yeah, yeah, for true.
I was in Greece this year, and believe me, they don't know what a hard shoulder is.
Right.
It's a dirt track.
Yeah, but they haven't got the kind of same volume of traffic, have they, that they're having to deal with?
You know, right.
But yeah, anyway, so that was interesting. Rant over.
Cool, good. No, but you're absolutely right. And funnily enough, I did a thing either last week or the week before when I was moaning about the motorway closures here and all kinds of things. On a trip I did back from Heathrow two Wednesdays ago, late at night, and every single road, including the road out of Heathrow, which was down to one lane, and then a truck had broken down in the one lane. So it took an hour to get out of Heathrow. Mm. Then they closed the M25. Then they closed the M20. Mm. And then they closed the A20. Mm. It took me 6 hours to get home.
Yeah.
From Heathrow. Used to have a car like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's Martin. That's Martin. With his 1941 Lexus. Cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it means you're going to cut through large swathes of the countryside building new roads, but hey-ho, you know, the A8 in the south of France does exactly that through Provence, but there's plenty of Provence remaining that is totally unspoilt. So,
yeah. Well, and the funny thing is, it's like the village of Leeds outside Maidstone. They've been talking about a Leeds bypass for, 40 years and never built it. Yeah. But really, you know, it has to be built, and because it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. The other thing that struck me while I was down there was I mean, it's always been a kind of magnet for money, the south of France. You know, Antibes and Nice and Monte Carlo, obviously, all of that.
Oh, look, get in.
But, you know, it's gone up to a whole new level now because you've got the Russian football club owners who've moved in, obviously.
Yeah.
So you've got Abramovich and you've got, who's the guy that owns Arsenal? Is it Usmanov or something?
Yeah, Usmanov, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So those two are in, and what this demonstrates is the utter pointlessness of kind of extreme wealth at that end of the scale. Because these two guys, they both own yachts, super yachts, at about 168 metres each. Usmanov's is slightly smaller, but Usmanov's is actually the largest yacht, private yacht in the world. By displacement, which is kind of total weight and size.
Yeah.
And I had a look at this boat because it's moored down in Antibes.
You sent me a picture of it as well.
It's absolutely enormous. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obscenely enormous. So it has a crew of 80, okay, which means there's 40 on, 40 off, you know, on a shift pattern. It can accommodate 40 guests. And the bill cost of these boats is around about $400 million.
Yeah.
And you think, well, why?
Yeah.
You know, just it's all about one-upmanship. You know, I've got a bigger one than you.
How big is your helicopter pad?
Yeah. Well, he's got two, you see. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
So, you know, there is, it really struck me that whole kind of, the difference between the kind of, you know, the super rich and everybody else, that gulf is becoming wider
and wider. I mean, these people have incomes the same level as some countries.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And it shows you the power of exponential math, so. Yeah, that once you hit a billion, it's almost impossible to not get richer. Because
to not get two.
Yeah, exactly, because exponential maths just cut in.
Yeah.
And people don't kind of realise that it's just purely arithmetic at that level. Yeah.
But what I think what I'd like to see ultimately, and there are people out there like Bill Gates, for example, who are real true philanthropists.
To be fair, an awful lot of wealthy people...
Yeah.
Are philanthropists eventually because they can't think of anything else to do mostly.
Yeah, look at Bill Gates, most of his money now, doesn't he?
Yeah. $54 billion he put into things like mosquito job.
Malaria.
That's the chap. Yeah, and stuff like that. So absolutely.
Warren Buffett told his family, "Don't expect any money from me. He's going to give over 99% of it back to charity."
Yeah, absolutely. Even Abramovich built hospitals, schools, universities and everything out in Chukotka in Siberia.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anyway.
Well, while we're on that subject, can I just close off by giving a testimonial for Lee Bennett, who was on the show last time I was on the show about a month ago. Mm. So, you know, remember Lee?
He does
IT support.
Yeah.
So Lee does IT support predominantly for small businesses from £20 a month. Well, I've got a friend that we stayed a few days with down in France who actually designs these super yachts.
Mm.
And he's launching a new one at the Monaco Boat Show, which is next week. It's an 80-metre yacht. So it's a minnow now. The 80-metre yacht, you know, $100 million boat, used to be quite a big boat. It's just a minnow now. It's sort of half size, you know. And he's launching that at Monaco next week. And his AutoCAD computer file broke down. So the software stopped working last week, and he's in the middle of finishing this boat off. And we woke up one morning with the pounding on the keyboard and some kind of colourful language. And in the end, I ended up giving Lee a ring on my mobile from Antibes. Spoke to him while he was having his breakfast. He said, right, dial into this website. Cliff gave him access to his computer, and within an hour and a half, he'd solved the problem.
Right.
So that is the power of, remote access
Absolutely.
IT support these days. Yeah. From £20 a month.
Yeah. So what you're telling me, Martin, is you're relocating to the south of France permanently because you can run your business with Lee supporting it for £20 a month while you live in Antibes.
The thought had crossed my mind.
Yeah, I see where you're going.
Right, better move on.
Listen, anyway, we want to hear from you. The business is out there in the southeast of England. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. I might even try and answer the phone this week. You can email me at bunker@kepbusinessradio.co.uk, but by far and away, the easiest way to interact with me live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb, and do please use the hashtag BBunker. #BBunker. We have, in fact, Martin, you'll be shocked to hear this, had so far 1,933,700,002 tweets.
I've read them all.
And I counted them.
I've read them all.
Absolutely. Shall I read one?
Yeah, go on.
The first one I've got is a big congratulations to Tenterton TWCC. That's Tenterton Twilight Cleaning. They're Tenterton TWCC on the Twitter, or Tenterton Toilets, if you know Laura really well. And they have been nominated as finalists in the ECH Awards 2017. And the category is Best Initiative, Raising the Profile and Perception of the Professional Cleaning Sector. Mm-hmm. That is a massive, massive accolade for a small Kent-based company.
These are European awards, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, massive congratulations to Laura and the team at Tenterton Twilight. A fantastic thing. I live in Tenterton, and...
How on earth do Tenterton public loos get on the radar of a European cleaning awards?
It's because I eat my kebabs in there.
Now, I was just going to say, it's all down to you, isn't
it? It is, isn't
eating
it? Because I go to Zappa's kebab van, which is by the toilets in Tenterton.
Something...
And if it's raining, I sit in the toilet and eat my kebab because it's that clean.
You haven't had a kebab for a while now, have you?
Well, you're looking at me, Martin.
Your bachelor days are well behind you.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, I haven't seen a kebab for a while. Sorry, Zappa, if your business is gone down the pan. Yeah. So anyway, big congratulations to Laura and the team. Very well deserved. I've also had a tweet from Gav Paws, and his Paws Radio on the Twitter, and he said, "Paul, I would love it if you could give my poetry book a shout out, please." And there's a 10% off the book if you use the code PFTBook10 when you book it online through his online store. I have to say, I have a copy of his poetry book. It's superb. It really is good. It's worth the full price, let alone a 10% discount. If you want to find out his online store, the easiest thing to do is to follow him on the radio. It's Paws Radio, which is PAUZE, Paws Radio.
Is this proper poetry, not your South London poetry, not your Cockney rhyming slang?
You'll just have to buy the book and find out, won't you?
Up the apples and bears.
In it.
And all that.
No, it's good. It's good schmatter, Mush. It's good schmatter. Typical.
I had a golf match at the weekend against Whitstable, and this was the return leg, so we played them at home a while back. And I played with a guy called Alan, who's from South London, last time. And I didn't play with him this time, and I said to him at the end when I saw him, I said, I missed your swearing today, Alan. And he told me to politely F off.
Oh, so. I'm not surprised.
Oh, dear. There's lots of networking happening.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of it all over the place in September. So you really need to get your diary organised. There's actually an after hours event happening tonight. Do you know Jay Sahota? He's been on the show before.
Jay, yeah,
one of our
guests. Yeah, yeah.
So he's now running Jarman Solicitors in Sittingbourne.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, and they've got an open hours networking tonight. So if you're stuck for something to do, if like me, your wife is going out to play ball and leaving you all alone tonight, you might want to get yourself off to Jarman Solicitors in Sittingbourne. The brilliant Jay Sahota is hosting tonight. I'm sure there'll be some drinkies and some nibbles there, and it should be a good evening. So I think that's kicking off at about 6 o'clock. So yeah.
Cool.
Get yourself along.
Good. I've had a tweet from Chris Hyde, who's known as Chameleogenics on the Twitter. I hope you've settled into your new home in Lincolnshire, Chris, and it's all working well and you're kind of unpacking the boxes. Chris has said, could I have a shout out for Chameleogenics, please? And if you go to our Facebook page and name our chameleon, and he's put a picture of a stuffed knitted chameleon, would you believe, on here. It's facebook.com/chameleogenics. That's, let me spell that for you, Chameleogenics, Chameleogenics. Go to their Facebook page and you can name the stuffed chameleon.
You remember the brilliant Rebecca Robertson who came on the show at the old office, up the road here. Well, they've rebranded. So Evo Girls has evolved, and it's now called Evolving Women in Business. And they're all about collaboration and support. And they're running 5 monthly networking and mastermind meetings across Kent. So if you haven't been to an Evo Girls meeting before, I would highly recommend it. I went along once as a visitor and was very impressed by the quality of speakers. And also, the as Rebecca says, the collaborative approach to masterminding and working your way through business problems in a kind of group format. So it's evogirls.co.uk /calendar/, and you'll find out all of the networking events that they're running on a monthly basis in Kent. Get yourselves along.
Cool. I need to tell you about this while we're talking about networking. It's a Networkers Networking event, helping business owners to network more effectively and efficiently. And the next one is taking place on Thursday, November the 2nd. It's 9:30 a.m. till 3:30 p.m. And it's at the fabulous Kenwood Trust Conference Centre, which is in Yalding, just outside Mason. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous place. Set in a stunning location, the Kenwood Trust Conference Centre, Yalding. We look forward to welcoming you to an event that's all about networking. The Networkers Networking event is suitable for you if you have just started networking and are unsure of where to go or how to do it effectively. You network already but are frustrated because it's not working for you. You're a serial networker who loves networking and don't want to miss another opportunity. Opportunity. Yeah, that's you. And there's four great speakers who will give you tips for effective and efficient networking. There's Spencer Wood, a close-up magician. The lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes from Orchard Employment Law. Chris Pollard and Mark Goldfinch. If you want to go along to that, you can book at butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE. That's butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE.
I went to the last one, actually, at Brands Hatch Place.
Yeah,
and good. The first one at Eastwell Manor. Both very, very good quality events.
Absolutely. This one, as far as I know, is sponsored by Carlene Lettings and Fruit Bowl Media.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Cool.
Okay. This Thursday, Metro Bank, I think Metro Bank had a networking event last week as well with the FSB in Maidstone, didn't they?
Their Maidstone
branch. Yep. Well, this week it's the turn of the Bexley Heath branch. So if you're based in sort of North Kent, around there, Chris Dexiades is running a networking event. And actually, I think the theme of it is going to be all about auto-enrolments. I think they've got a guest speaker talking about auto-enrolment this week. So it's Thursday evening at the Metro Bank Bexley Heath branch. I think it starts at 5:30. And if you want to go, Chris would appreciate an RSVP. So it's chris.dexiades@metrobank.plc.uk. You're not going to remember that. So just have a look on the Supply My Business community section on the website and you'll find the details in there.
Absolutely. What we've got now is we've got a recorded interview that Jules Serkin of this parish did with Mr. John Bingley, who's the chef from the Hythe Imperial. So should we have a listen to that? You reckon?
Yeah.
Let's go for it.
And I'm here at the lovely Hythe Imperial Hotel in Hythe in sunny Kent. We're right on the seafront and I'm with Chef John Bingley. Now, he's been just cooking up a storm at the Chef's Forum for all of these amazing chefs that have come down. Some of them have come from Bristol and Wales. We've been sampling all sorts of gorgeous food. Of course, it's game season, so we've been having some lovely venison. But I want to hear about John Bingley and what he's been up to and what brought him to the Hythe Imperial Hotel in sunny Hythe. Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well fed.
Oh, good,
that venison was gorgeous, I must say. So tell me where did you train, first of all?
I sort of trained with P&O Ferries. Doing the Dover to Calais runs. I went to Thanet College for 2 years and I spent 17 years on P&O.
Hang on, you only look about 20.
Yeah,
I wish. Started when you were three.
Yeah, no, so I started when I was 16 and yeah, done 17 years on there and then came out 2 years ago, nearly 2 years ago now. I've been working for the hotel, so...
This is where viewers, a bit like policemen, are getting younger and younger, and I think chefs are getting younger and younger. So you were headhunted?
Yeah, I was very lucky enough to be brought in to the hotel by the food and beverage manager that I previously worked with on board ship. And she knew that I was sort of looking for a get out to go maybe to possibly do something different. And yeah, so she offered me the position of head chef, came and done an interview, hadn't done an interview for a good part of nearly two decades, so I was a little bit rusty, but managed to walk out of the interview with an offer letter, and that was it. And then I was lucky enough to be able to bring one of my sous chefs with me, Andy Holden, with me, who had also done 12 years on board ships. So he was stuck with me through thick and thin, and all of a sudden we're doing amazing things.
So, John, cooking on a ship, it's a great big, you know, liner, isn't it? It's not a little boat. But cooking on a ship, how does that differ? You're cooking for tourists, day trippers. How does that differ to what you're introducing at Hythe Imperial?
So I was using my experience cooking for sort of mass producing for a lot of people on board there. So, I mean, we do a lot of banquets here. We do a lot of weddings, which are obviously large covers and things like that. And we have obviously a short turnaround regarding service time and things like that. So being able to use my imagination,
Someone's just fallen off the wagon there. Sorry.
Yeah,
he's going into the champagne bar, is he? Let's follow him.
So obviously I've been able to use my experience in that type of side, banqueting, weddings and conferences, private dining of obviously large numbers, which we find very, very easy. The thing that we obviously lacked experiencing is the fine dining type of side, but we've obviously, well, myself and Andy, we've been practicing a hell of a lot on our weeks off when we used to work on board ships, eating at really nice restaurants and things like that.
Hang on. Who pays for the restaurant eating? Does that come out of your pocket, or do you get a budget?
Unfortunately, not. No. That comes out of my budget, seeing as I take him out. So yeah, it's a nice thing to do. So
I'm going to speak to your general manager.
I
think it should be perk of the job, John.
Definitely should be perks of the job, yeah. I'd like to think it's...
Research,
there you go, yeah, why not? So, yeah, let's put that to him. I'll send an email and I'll copy you into it and see if you can back me up.
Provided I can come too.
Yeah, of course, why not?
What chefs are you looking out for? If so, who are your chef idols?
Oh, wow, chef idols. It's funny, I answered this question not so long ago. And do you know what? I know it might sound a bit, you know, the obvious choice, but Gordon Ramsay, yeah. I mean, what he's done for the industry has been insane. He's exposed a hell of a lot of, extremely good chefs, some really good programs, and a lot of my inspiration and ideas and things like that come from what he's sort of done, and not necessarily the way he portrays himself, with shouting and things like that. I don't want to be that type of person, but for what he's been able to do, like for the industry, I think it's been amazing. Why not want to be, use someone as an idol like that, who's got multiple Michelin stars, multiple restaurants everywhere and things like that, and he's, he's a household brand, so yeah, why not?
So at Hythe Imperial, it's a beautiful hotel. We're on the seafront, as I said. I know that it was a little bit tired before, possibly the reputation as well. It's had a huge refurb from just looking around. Looks gorgeous. What kind of changes have you come in when you've swept in with your chefs?
Well, that's a million-dollar question. Obviously, as you can tell, the hotel has had a lot of investment from the owner.
Is it owned by one person, or is it a chain? Or?
No, this is an independently owned hotel owned by one man.
How many bedrooms?
Oh, crikey. Very close to 100. Okay. I think we're in between 90 and 100. We're just refurbing the last floor. We're doing the third floor at the moment, which is the last of four. And then it's all ready to go. So yeah, we've got three floors that are already being refurbished. People are already talking about it being a 4-star deluxe.
And you've got your rosette, I hear.
Yeah. So obviously, as I was saying, we had no fine dining experience whatsoever. But just through self-taught, we managed to get our rosette within the first 4 months of being here.
Incredible.
The hotel have been wanting a rosette for the last 10 years, from what I've been led to believe. So,
and you got it in 4 months.
Yeah, we got it with 4 months. So I think it's just come down with hard work and determination. And organisation, I think, has been one of the biggest keys, and a lot of it wouldn't have been able to happen without my sous chef, without Andy. I mean, it's been, blood, sweat and tears have gone into this hotel to try and get it to where it is. We've made a lot of sacrifices, but it's been so worth it. And being able to do things like this now, sort of at the Chef's Forum, hosting things like that, having top chefs coming around, and just sort of enjoying your food, it's crazy. I've been locked up on a ship for 17 years, so it's been very, you know, it's been really nice to sort of be exposed to this type of stuff. So, yeah, I'm very thankful.
So you've swapped your rubber ring for some flip-flops on the beachfront.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You know, it's a nice view out there, but unfortunately I don't get to go and spend a lot of time out there. So
just poke your elbow out every now and then when you're cooling down a dish.
Yeah, just let the wind hit me in the face through the window. that's about it. So, yeah.
So what's on the menu this season?
Oh, wow. So, that's a good question as well. You sort of put me on the back foot. So what I'm thinking of doing, we're going to get some rabbit and some wild mushrooms, and we're going to make some arancinis for like a starter.
What's an arancini?
Arancini. So what it is pretty much a risotto that's been chilled down, and and it's nice and thick. So then what you're able to do is put it into a bowl and then we pané it. So what we'll do, we'll flour it, we'll egg it, and then we'll breadcrumb it, and then we'll deep fry it. So it's pretty much a deep fried risotto ball.
I think that's what we were scoffing earlier on.
It was, yes.
Delicious.
So obviously with the taste, with the canapés and things like that, get people's feedback, see what people like. And I think that's key, you know. If people are tasting the food and saying, yeah, that's really nice, you know, if you get good feedback, it gives you confidence as a chef to think, right, cool, let's push it a little bit further, let's turn it into a dish. So, yeah, so from today's canapé, we're now going to turn it into a starter, so.
An arandini, you heard it first here. So what about your mains?
So what we're probably going to do is we're going to do a venison loin. What I cooked today for you guys, we're going to do a carrot puree, we're going to do carrot fondants, we're going to make carrot crisps for a little bit of crunch, and then we'll use some blackberries on the dish as well, just to sort of give it some acidity, because obviously it's quite rich, like the jus that we use, and obviously with the venison and things like that, you want a bit of acidity to cut through that type of meat.
Those Kentish blackberries were just divine. Of course, we're right in the middle of the berry plum season. I could scoff a whole dish and bowl of plums, couldn't you? You can't stop.
Yeah, no, it is amazing. I do love this time of year now, actually, because we can now, you know, we can work some really deep flavours and things like that. And, you know, we're working really rich meat, obviously being game season and things like that. So, yeah, we can really sort of impact a lot of flavour in this time of year. So
now tell us about your puds. Oh, very important.
Oh, crikey. What are we going to do for pudding?
I'm a fan of a panna cotta.
A panna cotta. Well, we are doing a dish at the moment that we've just come out the back of summer from. So I've done we've done a rhubarb and ginger, we've called it. So we've done a ginger beer sorbet. And we do a little vanilla panna cotta that goes with it. So we do poached rhubarb. We'll do a rhubarb jelly. And we do a rhubarb sort of compote, sort of all piped on the plate. And then we use like an olive oil shortbread biscuit just to sort of break everything up and just give it a little bit more of a texture and a crunch. So yeah.
And John, how important is local produce to you?
Massively, massively. I've dealt all my life with large suppliers. I'm not saying they're bad and things like that whatsoever, but being an independently run hotel, it's up to me who I use. It's up to me. I'm not governed by anybody. So I've now started using a lot of local suppliers. I use Rye Bay fish down in Hastings. We're sort of using T&L Coopers in Ashford for my butcher. And we're using Crundon's, which is, they were just down in Hythe High Street, where they've just moved about 5 miles up the road now, just to another depot. So pretty much all of my suppliers now are local guys, and they're amazing. The service that I get from them, they might not be the cheapest, but if I'm in trouble, 20 minutes later after I've made the phone call, it's there on my doorstep, and it's great produce as well.
That's fabulous. I'm just going to ask you one last question, which is you've got your local customers, your regulars, and then who are your other guests?
Crikey. Obviously, being such a large hotel on the seafront, we get a lot of customers now that are all from around the country. We get a lot of people coming from a lot of Europeans as well, because we're very close to, obviously, the Channel Tunnel.
Mais oui.
Yeah. So we're very close to, obviously, the Channel Tunnel, obviously the ferries and things like that. So we get a lot of passing traffic. So people, as soon as they get in the country, they just want to stop off. And then people obviously come down for, like, spa breaks and things like that. So we are working, you know, we're working very closely with sort of bringing the locals back in, because obviously having... not the best reputation through, you know, just maybe the hotel not having as much investment in as what it should have. You know, he's, yeah, that's our type of sort of clientele, really, to be honest. So, but yeah, we're really pushing. Last week, we done a really good food festival down in Hythe, and it was amazing. We managed to get out there, speaking to the public, and they were trying our food and things like that. And it was just great having interaction, and just people were looking at us thinking, you know, oh, wow, maybe something has changed. You know, we were speaking with a lot of confidence. We're speaking with a lot of passion as well, you know, because we've got a great team here at the Imperial now. And yeah, and we just want to flip that reputation round, and yeah, that's it. So
that sounds exciting. I can't wait to tuck in here later on. So for now, from John Bingley and myself, Jules Serkin, at the Hythe Imperial Hotel in Hythe, it's goodbye from us.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Right, time for work. I'm off to Channel Facilities Management. Oh, didn't I say? I don't work for them. What I mean is, I don't start work without them. Channel Facilities Management is where local businesses go for no-hassle, peace-of-mind commercial cleaning, security, janitorial supplies and facilities management. Operating a safe, green and eco-friendly service with no chemicals used. Channel Facilities Management. Don't start work without them. Just call 0800 612 4415 or visit channelfm.co.uk.
RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTResearch.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Your business will grow if you take advice from people who've been there and done it. See and hear world-class business experts in masterclasses and workshops at the only business conference worth visiting. The Grow Kent Annual Conference, November the 30th at the Ashford International Hotel. Get tickets at growkent.co.uk.
Need help promoting your Kent business? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start connecting your Kent business for just £20 per month.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, September the 19th, with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Welcome back.
So that was Jules with a really fascinating interview.
Yeah.
Talking about the game season primarily at the Hythe Imperial Hotel with Mr. John Bingley. Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. Cool. We've still got loads of tweets coming in. We've got some great guests in the studio to talk to. We've got loads of emails, so I think we'll crack on.
We should say hello to Tracy, shouldn't we?
We should say hello to Tracy Ferguson, yeah. Hi, Tracy and Mike are currently listening to the show from Jamaica, from the Black River. Yeah. So I hope you're getting us loud and clear. I know it's a bit stormy out there, and I hope it's all okay with you.
Yeah,
and you're enjoying the show.
Stay safe, guys. It seems to be kind of circling all around the Caribbean at the moment, this depression. So, yeah.
Tracy was one of the speakers at Business Diaries the other night. Very powerful talk that she gave. Very emotional talk. Very good. Very, very strong. Very brave. Yeah. And really, really inspiring.
And it looked like a really good evening. Actually.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was
welcome,
excellent.
Lisa, for organising. I think that's all over now, isn't it? I think was that the last one?
No, there's one in December.
Oh, there's one more. Okay, good.
Yeah. Mm. No, they've been really excellent. Business Diaries get along to the next one. They are really, really something different. Talking about something different, I'd like to tell you about 1,000 hours. 1,000 hours began in Ashford in October 2016 when we at the Ashford Vineyard decided to pledge 1,000 hours of our time to bringing life to Ashford. We did this through personal volunteering in our own neighbourhoods and collectively by putting on community events throughout the month. We wanted to make an impact on the town that we love by spreading acts of kindness and bringing life in any way that we could. Last year, we managed to actually hit 1,856 hours. This year, 1,000 hours will be bigger and better as we can continue to love and look after our community by bringing a kindness revolution to our town. We're working with schools and businesses around Ashford as well as impacting the small communities in our own areas, and there are plenty of ways for you to get involved too. We're aiming to hit 5,000 hours within the month of October, and we're inviting all businesses and people in Ashford to join us by pledging hours or donating supplies to help us with projects around the town. Our dream is for 1,000 hours to be a starting point to Ashford becoming a community where we love and look after each other every day through little acts of kindness. We can't all do everything, but everyone can do something. For more information on how to get involved, you can email us at info@1000hours, and that's in words, not numbers, 1000hours.org, or you can check our website, www.1000hours.org, in words, not numbers, or find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. AV1000hours is their Twitter handle, Facebook, and Instagram handle. So what a fabulous project. Fantastic. Well done to the guys at Ashford Vineyard. And if you do live in the Ashford area, or you do have a business in the Ashford area, please do get involved with that. It's a fantastic thing to do. Good.
As I was driving in here today, I got my first glimpse of the Kent Space blimp.
Did you?
Yeah. And I was just suggesting to the guys downstairs that they might want to make it a bit bigger, because it seemed a bit small to me.
Really?
I was expecting something sort of Zeppelin-sized.
I tell you what, when it gets nearer the ground, you realise why they don't have anything bigger.
They have to pull it in by hand.
They have to pull it in by hand and put it up by hand. Yeah, you don't want it much bigger than that, because once it's down at ground level, it's not small.
No. Okay. They may need an electronic winch if they get anything bigger.
Exactly.
Yeah. But while we're on the subject of our wonderful hosts at Kent Space, they're holding their own networking event on the 25th of October again. And you and I went to the last one.
We did indeed.
In the summer, which was well attended actually some fabulous food as well and some really good networking.
It was great. Yeah, no, and I shall be going to the next one.
So it's going to be a theme to this one. I mean, it's very topical at the moment, isn't it? This whole
GDPR.
PR discussion and kind of cybercrime and everything else. So the general data protection regulations that are coming in next year. So they've actually got a guest speaker this time that's going to be talking about that. So before you go and spend loads and loads of money going to a conference on GDPR, why don't you come along to the Kent Space networking evening, which is free on the 25th of October, and learn a bit more. And if you need to go that extra step and get some specialist advice, then obviously you can do that on the back of that. So Sue McGowan is the lady to contact, and it's sm@kentspace.co.uk. And again, those details are on our Supply My Business website in the community section.
Fantastic. I've got one tweet to read, and then we're going to talk to our first guest. The tweet is from Street Soccer, and their Twitter handle is Street Soccer CIC. And they say, Paul, we'd love a Business Bunker shout out, please. The first Street Soccer Business Breakfast event at Kent Sports will take place on Wednesday the 27th of September at 8 a.m. If you want to follow Keith and the gang on Street Soccer CIC, please do. And you can find out more about that business breakfast at Kent Sports. And that's Kent Sports is just outside Maidstone, by the way. And it's on Wednesday the 27th of September at 8 a.m. So do give that a check out.
We got time for one more?
Very quickly, because I want to talk to Tim.
I don't
want to talk to you. I want to talk to Tim.
That's fair enough. Our good friend Terry Botfield.
Oh yeah, Terry.
Is launching a brand new networking group on the Marsh, on Romney Marsh, and it's happening on the 4th of October.
I'm going to that.
Yeah, I am as well. Down in New Romney, it's from 10 o'clock in the morning. And it says, are you a business, social enterprise, charity or community group? Do you want to make new connections in Romney Marsh and the surrounding areas? So it's a great opportunity to get in with a brand new networking group from day one. It's on, as I said, 4th of October, 10 o'clock in the morning, and I think it'll probably run till about 12. So you're going, I'm definitely going to go.
So it's three of us at least.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah. All the information again. In the community section on Supply My Business. Well done, Terry, by the way, for putting that together.
Yeah, thank you. Right, it's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. Tim Maris of Creative Dynamics. Tim, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you.
Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about you and then a bit about your organisation and what you do?
Yeah, well, by professional training, I'm a registered osteopath, and I qualified about 40 years ago.
Right, okay, he doesn't look old enough, does he?
Thank you. And throughout my professional career, seeing patients in clinical practice, I've become extremely conscious of the level of stress that people are carrying that's work-associated.
Do you know, it's interesting.
Building up. Because stress doesn't come on suddenly, but it can do. But it's the accumulated build-up that goes on for weeks, months, and many times many years that results in health and mental issues that they don't know is existing.
Absolutely. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this is kind of some of my thoughts on things. I mean, for me, I spend most of my life hunched over a computer at a desk with probably incredibly poor posture as well.
Yeah.
We eat rubbish diets, even when Amanda lets me, which isn't often, with my kebabs and stuff. I mean, I'm assuming that our modern lifestyles are not really conducive to good body function.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you just say, posture, standing, chairs, computers, cars, all these things create postural problems. But also, our attitude and our thinking about our work affects our posture.
Okay.
Many, many people are what I call future thinkers, where people are so busy thinking about all the things they're coming up in the next few months, got to do this, got to do that, got to do this, got to do that. And it's a bit like a giant energetic carrot, like the carrot in front of the donkey that literally pulls their body forwards and makes them lean forwards in their posture. And then, of course, the brain says, whoa, I'm going to fall over here. I don't want to fall over. So it makes you arch your back. So you don't fall over, but energetically, you're still leaning forward.
Right.
That then makes you look at the ceiling, and your body says, ceiling is boring, I don't want to look at the ceiling, and it makes you stoop your neck. So you end up with a posture with your overarched back, stoop neck, leaning forwards, but stable so you don't fall over.
Blimey.
Yeah. It's very technical, isn't it?
No, but I recognise what he just said. I just suddenly recognise it, and you probably, if I looked in a mirror now, I'm probably an example of exactly what Tim just said.
Yeah, and these I call them future thinkers, because literally they've got this energetic carrot pulling them to all the things they've got to do.
Yep.
Now, some people are past thinkers.
Right.
These people are always thinking about how life used to be.
Right.
How good it was.
That's you, Martin.
And for these people, the present is not as good as how it used to be, and so the future's got even less chance.
Right.
Now, the future thinkers, because they're thinking about all the things they've got to do in the future, and the future doesn't yet exist, their thinking is locked into something that doesn't exist and therefore inherently unstable.
So
it creates anxiety.
So you're unstable and I'm old-fashioned.
Yeah, got it. Unless I was just going
to
say that.
Where do you want us to be, Tim?
Hold on. Before we go there, are you saying, Tim, that past thinkers tend to not have as many problems as future thinkers, or is it just different type of problem?
A past thinker, because for them, life's all about how it used to be, and now is not as good as then,
right?
And the future's got even less chance. So for these people, they tend to have depressive type tendencies.
Okay, get it.
Because the future's got no possibilities. No relevance.
Yeah, got it. Oh, got it. I like that. That's a very succinct way of analysing where we are.
Yeah. Now, in a group discussion, it's the past thinkers who will be the blockers, who will say, that won't work, that's a waste of time, let's not go down that road. Because for them, any change is always going to be for the worse.
Yep.
Whereas the future thinker, coming up with all these ideas, but his head is so full of all these things he's got to do.
Which... Stop laughing at me.
And these people get anxiety problems.
Yeah, okay. I think he's nailed it. To be honest, I think he's nailed it. So Martin was just about to ask a question when I interrupted him, which I think was quite a pertinent question. Do you want to go with that again?
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you kind of find a balance between the two? Because presumably that's what you need, isn't it?
Well, we need to learn from the past, prepare for the future, but actually live in the present.
Right.
And most people aren't. They're lost to all the things they've got to do.
Okay, so...
This is stress at work.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of an easy answer because it's absolutely correct. The difficult question is how.
Yeah. So how do you relate that to the workplace and your kind of day-to-day environment?
Right. We've got to find methods to get people out of stressing themselves about the stuff that's coming up in their future. We've got to get them back into the present. Learning from the past, living in the present, preparing for the future.
And do you have any techniques for that, Tim?
Yeah. Well, over the years, I've treated many people osteopathically for many, many stress-related conditions. But then I stopped and looked at what are the three main criteria that affect people in the workplace. Firstly, it's health issues. Health and well-being. If it's good, you feel good, but most people don't. And this can lead to illnesses and time off work. The second thing is how people relate to others. Teamwork, departments, maybe it's clients, maybe it's suppliers. But if you don't relate well to these people in a harmonious way, the department gets at loggerheads and starts becoming a failure.
Right.
So it's relationship to other people.
Okay.
And the final thing, as we've been discussing, is how he relates to time. Are you a past thinker or a future thinker?
Okay.
So then I looked at the principles I use when I give osteopathic treatment, and I extracted those principles into methods I could teach people to work on themselves.
Okay. So can you give us a flavour for what those methods are?
Well, you have to become aware of your own innate health within yourself.
Right.
We all have within us an amazing level of self-healing ability.
Sure. Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd all be dead within a few years of life.
Yep.
And I've developed techniques where you can tap into that amazing restorative ability.
Right.
Not only to help improve your health and well-being within your own body and mind, but also to then apply the same principles on how we relate to other people and heal that relationship.
Okay.
And how you can apply the principle to our relationship to time and heal our relationship to time so we live in the present.
Okay, cool. So that's what your business does.
Yeah.
In what way do you deliver that? I mean, is this a training course? Is it individual? Yeah. Is it corporate?
We run courses for about 10, 12 people at a time.
Okay.
And there's three modules. The first one is looking at yourself to make your own health and well-being better,
right,
to expand your consciousness so that you have a greater awareness to see the bigger picture in your life and in your work. If you've got blinkered thinking, you just see only one solution, and if that fails, you've got no other resource to fall back on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you need a broad, wide perspective on your vision. You need to be able to have a high level of awareness to see the big picture, because of your creativity is the future of your company. Any successful business came out of a brilliant idea. And if these brilliant ideas don't continue to flow, your company's got no future.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, as an entrepreneur, that's one of the things that you see the most, that you can have some ideas and then you suddenly realise that you can't just stop there. You have to keep going, especially as other people compete with you and leapfrog you and do what they're doing. There's no end game to it. It's a forever kind of process.
Yeah, if an executive gets the equivalent of a writer's block, he's stuffed.
Basically. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the first module helps to release and resolve those issues. And the second one is all about teamwork relating to other people, whether it's a board of directors, because a board of directors, to be honest, can be a mind full of stress. And if that's a mind full of stress, heaven help the company.
Absolutely.
And then the third one is so that we can gain more time by being in step with time and releasing either depressive, negative, past thinking tendencies or anxiety tendencies. So it's a three-modular program, which is done in-house.
Okay. And you deliver that to organizations?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do you do one-to-one sessions like that, or is it all just team sessions?
Well, team sessions are better because you get the advantage of other people's experiences and questions.
Yeah.
It can be done one-to-one, but it's far better in a group situation.
Okay.
It's really interesting, though, isn't it? Because we had Linda on a month or so ago. And Linda, you know Linda Garcia. Linda is a business productivity specialist. And what you're talking about is ultimately geared towards creating a more productive business.
Yes.
A business that's more harmonious in terms of, you know, teams and departments, and ultimately more productive as a result of that.
but working at the fundamental levels of the individual, creating those problems.
Whereas Linda approaches this very much from a kind of systems and processes point of view, Paul.
Yep.
And I think ultimately, you know, there's very strong arguments for both. And really, I think what's needed is a kind of holistic approach that actually takes the best from both of those and actually kind of molds them together into a kind of coherent, workplace wellbeing program. Mm. It's not about wielding a big stick, in other words. When you catch people looking at social media, it's actually, okay, you know, we need to understand why they're doing that and actually make them more motivated by working as part of a team and kind of a coherent team, I guess.
Mm. And I bring into my teaching, my training, my experience of being an NLP master practitioner. Yeah. And NLP is all very much about understanding the unconscious mind and how it plays out in our conscious life.
Mm. Right.
And if there's an imbalance between your unconscious thinking and your conscious thinking, again, it disempowers you completely.
Right. Again, you know, you're kind of hitting the nail on the head. It's back to what I said right up the front. You know, I get stressed and I don't even know what I'm stressed about. So that's presumably some kind of subconscious stress.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As a trained practitioner, you can see that in an individual.
Yeah.
But the individual themselves doesn't understand or see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just tell us briefly, Tim, what exactly is neuro-linguistic programming? Because it's not something that I've had direct experience of. I don't think I've ever gone through that kind of training program with anybody or been coached in that way. What exactly is it? How do you sum that up in a nutshell?
We all expressing all the time our unconscious thinking through the way we talk, the way we speak, the way we act, our body language. For example, if you go to a car showroom and somebody says to you, Martin, this is a really good car. Look, it's a beautiful BMW. It's just what you need. And then you go to another car showroom. Martin, this is a beautiful BMW. It's lovely colour. It's just what you need. But somehow you believe one of the men more than the other.
Right.
And it's not based on what they think.
Yeah.
It's something about their body language, the manner in which they speak to you. You think, I trust this guy. I don't trust the other one.
Right.
That is NLP at work. You're diagnosing the unconscious body language, which tells you the truth of these two individuals.
Cool. So one of the quotes you hear a lot in the kind of small business world is people do business with people.
Yeah.
Is that what they mean by that? You know, subconsciously you are drawn to personality traits, characteristics of certain individuals more than others. Is that what you mean? Or
if you trust somebody and you have good rapport with somebody, you'll feel at harmony and at ease with that person and you'll get on and interact better.
Right. And NLP can teach us to exhibit more of those characteristics? Is that right?
You can understand more about the unconsciousness expression of that person through their body and their voice and how to be more at ease with them and then allow them to be more at ease with you.
Cool. I like this.
Yeah, it's very powerful.
We're kind of running out of time, but I'd like to talk to Tim some more about this in the second half of the show, obviously. For the moment, though, Tim, give us a shout-out for your business so that people can find you and find out more about it.
Yeah. It's Creative Dynamics 4DC.com.
Fantastic.
Creative Dynamics, all one word, 4DC.com.
Fantastic. There is a link to Tim's company website on the Kent Business Radio website if you want to find it.
He also has a health and wellbeing seminar coming up on the 18th of October.
Cool. Yes, at the Conningbrook Hotel in Ashford.
It's
a whole day event where we're introducing people to the program and giving a lot of health tips and advice.
Fantastic. How to improve this, so. Okay, we'll promote that some more. And when is it taking place again?
It's on the 18th of October.
Cool. Yeah. So we'll give that some promotion over the next couple of weeks as well. Mm. For the moment, Tim, thank you very much. We'll come back to you later in the second half of the program. Right now, we're going to do
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show when we do the FSB News Update. I've got a few things to read out on the parliamentary updates from the Federation of Small Business. On the Monday in the House of Lords debate on business rates, the Earl of Lytton quoted the FSB and agreed that the business rates appeal system is now technically a shambles. On the same day in the House of Lords, Lord Sir Harrison asked the government a question on late payments and small businesses. He quoted FSB research stating that we lose 50,000 viable businesses every year and we lose 2.45 billion to the Exchequer because of the failure to act effectively on late payments. During a House of Commons debate on the finance bill on Tuesday, Mel Stride MP, the financial secretary to the Treasury, stated that meetings with the FSB led to the government concluding that the smallest businesses below the VAT threshold shall now not be mandated to comply with quarterly tax reporting under the absolutely ludicrous Making Tax Digital section. Also on Tuesday, during the BEIS oral questions, Marie Rimmer, who's the MP for St Helens South, spoke about the staircase tax and quoted FSB when calling for a fundamental review of business rates, which we've already decided is the complete and biggest omni-shambles of all time ever. Martin.
Yeah. I'm not up to speed with the whole business rates thing because it doesn't really apply to me. But what I am good at is networking. Mm. And there are a couple of cracking networking events coming up. So there's Women in Business at Western Hanger Castle, FSB event, on Tuesday the 26th of September. That's from 10:30 till 12. And there is another Skills 3030 coming up, which I know you're...
It's tomorrow.
Heavily involved with.
It's tomorrow.
Wednesday the 20th, yeah.
10:30.
It says 1 till 4.
10:30 here. Till 12:30. I know. I haven't changed the time on it. It's at the Longfield Academy tomorrow. Do come along. We're introducing businesses to young people doing their A-levels and talking about the world of work and what we seek in the world of work and what young people want from employers. Mm-hmm. It's a really, they're cracking events. They are really cracking events. We've run a dozen or so of them now, and they're always really good fun. Mm. If you're an employer or even just have your own business, do come along and talk to the students at Longfield Academy tomorrow, 10:30 at the Longfield Academy. Brilliant. Love to see you there. Good. I'm going to run through a few of these. You can book all of these through the Kent Business Radio website on the FSB tab. So there's a Women in Business brunch in Dartford on Tuesday the 3rd of October. That's at the Base Point Business Centre. There's networking in Maidstone at the Metro Bank, which I think you've already mentioned, Martin, on Wednesday the 11th of October. There's an FSB Bank of England roundtable on Wednesday the 18th of October from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the Innovation Centre in Medway. You can go along and share your business experience directly with the Bank of England and their local agent. Hear the bank's current thinking on the overall economy and network with other local businesses. It's free to attend and lunch is provided. That's actually a cracking event. And then there's FSB Connect Festive Tenterton Networking on Wednesday, November the 15th at 5:30 p.m. at the Secret Pantry. And that's 100 the High Street, Tenterton. You got anything else there, Martin?
I think you've covered it all, actually. Okay, you've stolen my thunder again.
Have I? I've got one more thing to tell you about from the FSB. The search is on for the Southeast's most outstanding small business. The FSB Celebrating Small Business Awards 2018 are now open, and nominations opened on the 11th of September for entries for small businesses in the Southeast of England. And you have until January 2018 to enter, and it is free to enter. The awards will celebrate the best of the area's 302,085 small businesses and their vast contribution to both the regional and national economies. The Southeast area winners of 12 award categories will be announced at the awards ceremony at Sandown Park Racecourse, Surrey, and will then go forward to the national FSB Small Business Awards final. The categories that you can enter are Business Exporter of the Year, Ethical Green Business of the Year, Business and Product Innovation Award, Digital Business of the Year, Micro Business of the Year, Startup, Scale Up, Family Business, Young Entrepreneur, Employer of the Year, the Triumph Over Adversity Award, that's interesting, and the Community Award. For further information and to enter, if you go to www.fsbawards.co.uk, that's www.fsbawards.co.uk. And I think that brings us to the end of the FSB News Update. Just on time to join Amy in the newsroom.
Channel Radio News Update. British Overseas.